This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon from Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Today we're speaking with David Commande, conductor and artistic director of the Heartland Festival Orchestra, and guest artist and baritone Sal Viviano. They're here to tell us more about Saturday's concert, New Year's Greetings, That's Amore, taking place this Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. at Five Points, Washington. David and Sal, welcome to Out and About.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Now, David, this is a very special concert. It's become somewhat of a tradition with the Heartland Festival Orchestra audiences that you invite the community in to celebrate the new year with music. Tell us about the program you've put together for this year.
This year, we are retaining a few elements that are traditional with the New Year's greeting concert and then adding a special one as well. So typical of us and this concert is to have an element of the past, which is present pretty strongly in the orchestral side of things, since the original inspiration for this program was the New Year's Day concert of the Vienna Philharmonic, where, you know, which I love. And we generally have an Austrian, a Viennese element, but that's very light this year, that element. On the other hand, this idea of the music of that time, the operetta, the music of the old world, and then its evolution in the United States, the American musical theater, that is where that all went in the United States. So we combine the contemporary with the traditional, and that's what's going on here. But this theme, That's Amore, of course, is the heart of this show. That's Amore meaning it's love, and of course, there's the Italian connection.
And in the case of this concert, you're drawing that theme really from two musical sources. On the one hand, you have a healthy representation of music from the Italian opera tradition, Puccini and Rossini. And then you're also drawing from Italian-American singers of the 20th century, so Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra.
Absolutely. And it's a natural. And, of course, on the popular side, there is older traditional popular and there is modern popular.
Mm-hmm.
So Sal knows all about that. You're doing a little bit of both in this program, aren't you?
I am. I don't often get to do that kind of lifting in one evening, which is kind of fun. When we came up with this program with David, he put a lot of wonderful songs on this evening that I'm looking forward to singing. I don't get a chance to sing very often. And with Sarah Jane McMahon, who's an amazing singer and a wonderful talent and a great gal. But to also look at the songs that really were popularized in the 40s and 50s and 60s by the great artists that you mentioned, Dean and Frank, and so many Italian-American singers that covered some of these great songs. I'm looking forward to stepping into them again myself.
And Sal, you've really found quite a wheelhouse with this canon of work by Frank Sinatra and by Dean Martin and those classic pieces. But you've also had a very successful career on Broadway. Can you tell us a little bit about, as a performer, maybe how you first found your voice in this genre of music as opposed to just traditional Broadway music?
That's a good question. Thanks, Jen. I grew up with certainly music in the home, in our home, an all-Italian home. My father was Sicilian, a Sicilian-American immigrant. My mother, a Northern Italian-American immigrant. And to come here to this country, find one another, and their families come to this country as well and succeed was a lot of that had to do with music, actually, and just in how we embraced life in the home with music and food and partying, and partying in a different sense than my kids call partying. So I think finding music early on in my life was a big issue. I did not set out to do this as a career, but changes happened while I was in college that I realized that I had a voice that maybe lent itself to singing for the long haul, and others encouraged me to do so. So I did. And then fresh out of college, I started auditioning and getting my union cards as an actor in Chicago, and then got my first Broadway show in a long time ago. 1984, I'm not ashamed to say, in The Three Musketeers. And so all of a sudden, the fact that I had long hair and I could grow a good beard and wield a sword helped me. Anyway, but that was actually Rudolf Frimmel. That's the great Rudolf Frimmel operetta that was revived, but with a modern take to it. So being able to stand in both worlds, the more classical world with my classical training, yet being able to sort of sing in a popular manner and in a contemporary manner, all the music was updated to feel contemporary at the time. And there was a horse. Unfortunately, I entered behind the horse, but that's another story. So then I stayed doing Broadway shows for the next 20 years, I guess, and off-Broadway and touring, and then started doing concerts once my wife and I started having kids, and have really enjoyed doing that. It was really something that didn't happen again. I didn't pursue that as much as I substituted for somebody and was a quick study, was able to learn the concert very quickly, and in a matter of 2 days went and stood in for a fellow Broadway actor who was supposed to do a symphony concert and got invited back. So, you know, 200 and some orchestras later and, you know, about almost 500 concerts. And here I am.
You know, I have to jump in because I want to comment that your background on the stage really comes through. Watching you deliver a song like My Way. My Way is, of course, it's a ballad, but tells a story and it creates a character. And these are not just lines. And you watch Sal perform this, you're listening, but you're also watching. And every line is not merely a line, it's a thought first. And then comes the lyric. And that's, of course, that makes all the difference. It makes a difference in how it sounds and how you feel it when you're listening. So hats off. I'm really looking forward to the show.
Oh, thanks, David. I am too. And I appreciate you mentioning that. And I think coming to being a concert singer from being an actor first, I do think of things as a lyric first, as a statement of, you know, the reason we sing in a Broadway musical or in any format is because the emotion is too great to be able to speak it. So putting it to music makes it just that much more dramatic and conveys the thought. So I do look at songs that way first, what the lyric is, and it doesn't mean I'm going to slight the melody, but I really celebrate those great lyricists who labored over those choices of words as much as the composers labored over their choices of the tune.
Sal, you had mentioned that you sort of come out of that immigrant experience through your parents and your extended family, and I'm wondering if that gives you an additional insight or some additional connection to folks like Frank Sinatra who also come out of that same historical immigrant experience.
Well, it's nice of you to mention me in the same breath, but I guess it does. I guess we do have some similarity in our background and just the sense of, as I mentioned, family, music, gathering. And I think that's typical of many cultures that gather in our world. And to celebrate that in a musical format and with a full orchestra and with the dramatic sense of that and with the occasion of that is very rare. To have 75 bodies on one stage creating a live presentation that will evaporate after that, it'll be gone. There's very little live format presentations that exist in our world because the cost is so tremendous. So while ticket costs have to cover that, we have to celebrate our opportunity to get to do that. And with media being everywhere, it's on our phones, it's you know, on our watches, it's everywhere. I think the occasion of getting together to hear a live concert and to celebrate that music and those musicians and that conductor and those artists gathering together to bring this is just magical. And it doesn't happen without an audience. I mean, I guess we would still perform, David, if no one showed up, but it wouldn't be nearly as fun.
I think you're right. And, of course, with the HFO, it's always very fresh. The fact is that tonight is our first rehearsal together. We have great professionals in the orchestra. They come in ready for the show already. So it's not like we have rehearsal after rehearsal. Everything is very much alive when we and kicking when we make the music.
David, we always look forward to having you on Out and About because you always give us these great stories about Beethoven and Brahms and insights into the classic repertoire. But tell us a little bit about your preparation as a conductor and artistic director as you engage with the music of Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra.
Well, I think it comes close to what Sal was describing. You know, there's the lyric and then there's the melody. And for me, the melody carries the meaning in addition. The fact is that the lyric and the melody, often the melody is caused by the lyric or sometimes the other way around, and they are married. But to me, there's a direct inspiration And then there's also the research. It's the same as it might be with Beethoven or Haydn. In other words, you need to – the music has to work on you, and the way it works on you is enriched by your life experience and how much of this music you've done, right? The music itself works on you, and then also what you know about where it comes from. So that's why I mentioned – you know, I'll go looking, well, so how did Dean Martin do Mambo Italiano? You know, what are the subtleties? And the whole job as an artist, as a musician, is to be receptive to that and then let it do its own magic. And it's transformed in us. We're individuals, too. But that's part of the whole idea. The fact is that it's Sal's and it's David's and it's the HFO's tomorrow night. We let the music do its alchemy in us.
I'm curious, as each of you goes through your own preparation for the concert, and in this concert there's the third party involved in Sarah Jane McMahon, how much of the particular interpretation of a specific piece comes out of planning and discussing and preparation that you've all done together ahead of time, and how much of it do you just let happen while you're live in that moment? Because that's the great thing about a live performance is you can just sort of be open to those inspirations.
I suppose it's like trying on a suit. You try on the suit, or for a woman, a dress, or for some men, a dress. No, you try on what you're going to try on if you're planning for a big event. You try it on. You make sure it fits. You make sure it looks like you want it to look prior to the event. Same is true of a concert or anything that you're rehearsing. You rehearse it enough so that you feel comfortable and facile enough to be able to hang on to what happens live, what may happen in the moment that is magical and unexpected and therefore rich. And it does not happen. You know, we will rehearse tomorrow night with the orchestra, Sarah Jane and I, along with David in the orchestra. And it will give us a sense of what it's going to be Saturday night, but then it will be something its own entity on Saturday night. I suppose being a professional is being ready for what's new, those things that happen unexpectedly, and they lift the event that much higher. There's an adrenaline, certainly, like a sporting event. You're ready, you've prepared, you've thrown, you know, 200 passes the day before, but when you're going to throw that touchdown pass, it's going to be on target because you threw the 200 passes yesterday.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree with all of those things. I've got to remind you, our rehearsal's tonight, Sal. It's already Friday.
Oh, right. Of course.
Yeah.
I lost a day in the travel, I think.
But, you know, also in response to the question, for example, Mi chiamano Mimì. This is one of the great arias of Puccini. Sarah Jane's going to – she and I did Musetta's Waltz a year ago. Mi chiamano is unique. It's a big challenge, actually, for the conductor because of its musical nature, because of the way the lyric interacts with the accompaniment. And so I've prepared for it, but I'm not prepared for it until I'm making that music with Sarah Jane. And we will have a conversation about it, but the conversation is so much less valuable than the very first time we actually make that music because so much more is learned just for the turn of a phrase or how she breathes or the response of the musicians. In the accompaniment to that aria, there are offbeats. It goes slowly. So do you conduct all separate eighth notes? Are you going in quarter notes? These are things. Now, that's the nuts and bolts of my trade. But what I'm saying is that how I'm going to conduct it, I don't know yet. I can't know until she and I are doing that. So many of these tunes, actually, I'm doing another again in this concert, but they were in different arrangements, and mm-hmm. they were with different soloists. So I have to be open to the unexpected, and I actually look forward to that.
And how do you identify which arrangements you want to select for a concert?
Well, usually it's a process of recommendation from people I trust. The resources of many of these arrangements actually come to us through Sal and his experience, and he has many great professionals he's collaborated with in his career. So it's a matter of inviting good things to happen from trusted sources, and that's the way it works.
And David, as is always the case with the Heartland Festival Orchestra, for this concert you are working with a community partner in Central Illinois. What can you tell us about the Association of the Developmentally Disabled of Woodford County? They're your partners this time out.
Yes, they're often known as ADWC, and they're doing great work with people facing developmental challenges in their lives, with assistance sometimes in the home, with vocational training. And that's centered, as it says, as the name says, in Woodford County. They're doing great work.
We've been talking with David Commande and Sal Viviano about New Year's Greeting, That's Amore. The Heartland Festival Orchestra is presenting its first concert of 2018 tomorrow night at 7:30 at Five Points, Washington. Thank you both for being with us, and Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
This Sunday at 2 p.m., the Peoria Riverfront Museum continues their artist lecture series for the Emergence exhibit with sculptor Jackie Willis and Doug and Eileen Loinig of Purpose Driven Art. The event takes place at 2 p.m. and is free to the public. No reservations are required. And for more information, you can call 686-7000. Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Sierra Doss. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.